Area Voices tells the arts, culture, and history stories of northern Minnesota. The Minnesota Orchestra has been traveling around Minnesota with their Common Chord program. Three of the Minnesota Orchestra string players dropped by the KBXC studio on Wednesday. They played a couple of pieces, sat down with producer Katie Carter to talk about Common Chords and life as a professional musician with the orchestra.
I'm talking with Sarah Grimes, a violinist, Sam Bergman, did I say violist?
Yep, exactly.
A violist, and Katia Linfield, who is a cellist, and they all play for the Minnesota Orchestra. And they're in town, traveling through the northern part of the state with the Common Chords program. Tell me about the program.
Okay. This is a program that's been going on for probably a decade now, maybe a little more. And the idea was to sort of get beyond just showing up in a town, playing a concert and leaving, you know, which is fine. Everyone likes music. But the idea was to bring the orchestra into the community and really let us get to know people there and play more than just a symphonic concert. So what happens during many of our Common Chord weeks, and this has happened in both Bemidji and Grand Rapids before, is we will set up shop for an entire week in the town. And different small ensembles from within the orchestra will just go play anywhere that they will have us. Schools, hospitals, the VA. One of our brass groups has played in jails before. And the idea is to just carry the music wherever people will have us and give people the chance to experience it in whatever way is most comfortable for them. And this week, what we're doing is sort of a tour of communities that have hosted Common Chords residencies in the past. So for this week, that's Willmar and Bemidji and Grand Rapids. And we're carrying these small ensembles now sort of on fast forward, where we're still doing them. We're showing up everywhere. We had a wind group last night at Bemidji Brewing, which was great. Our string trio has been playing various places, and we have the brass quintet as well. And then we also do full symphonic concerts both in the schools for students and also in the evenings for the whole community.
What have been some of your favorite reactions that you've received?
Well, it was interesting. Last time we were in town, we had these baseball cards that were made up by the orchestra for each musician. And it was so amazing because I remember coming out of the concert at the high school, the evening concert, and there were all these little kids standing there with their baseball cards of orchestra members, and they wanted them signed. And it was just so lovely. And for me, anytime we go into a school, it's great. And, you know, the kids are always at first, I think they feel like somewhat intimidated, you know, when we're up on this stage, but then we usually have a Q&A, and it takes a while for them to feel more comfortable, but then great questions come out and they get to see that we're just normal people like they are.
Yeah.
So I think my favorite memory from the Common Chords program was actually in Grand Rapids, the first time that we were up there. Someone came up with the idea that because, of course, there's a huge Finnish community there, that we should play Sibelius's Finlandia as an encore, you know, an unannounced thing that we would just, you know, bust out with. And our music director, Osmo Vanska, is Finnish, and we also have a Finnish trombonist in our orchestra, Kari Sundström. And someone came up with the idea that it would be better than just having the orchestra play it if we could also have the rarely performed choral portion of Finlandia, which is sort of a hymn to how wonderful Finland is. And it's very meaningful there. And so what happened was the conductor, Sarah Hicks, and Kari Sundström, our trombonist, essentially snuck into the high school with the approval of the chorus teacher there to teach the choral portion of Finlandia to the kids. And then at this concert, these kids who were all already scheduled to come to the concert with their parents, we sort of strategically positioned them all throughout the auditorium. And their parents knew nothing of this. It was we had to just keep it completely under wraps. And the choral portion doesn't come in until about 2/3 of the way through Finlandia. So we just came out to play the encore, and of course many of them recognized it and they applauded, and we were playing for about 7 or 8 minutes. And all of a sudden the whole orchestra comes down to almost nothing. And I think it was just two girls stood up in the second row. And just, this still chokes me up thinking about it. They just started to sing. And then there were two more. And two more, and then there were like 100. And it was amazing. It was better than any chorus experience back home. It was, it's amazing. This was probably 8 years ago, and I still get choked up every time I talk about it.
Wow.
Because it was just an amazing experience. And, you know, so we get to experience that too. It's not just us coming and dumping our music on people. It's having people really join us. And that was an incredible thing.
Can you top that, Sarah?
This is my first time up here. I joined the orchestra in October. So far, we've just played a couple of concerts, and we played at a high school, which is always really fun. And I think getting to do sectionals where we just take, for me, just the violins from the orchestra program and work through their music with them, it sort of reminds me of when I was in their position. Mm-hmm. And it's a really great way to give back.
Absolutely. So what is life? What is the life of a professional orchestra player? This is your full-time job. This is what you do. But what does that look like? It doesn't look like my occupation.
No, it's a strange animal. A lot of people have asked me, oh, is that what you do full-time? So it is a full-time job. I think the thing that's hard to explain sometimes is that there's a lot of the job that's on site when we're rehearsing with the orchestra, but none of that could happen if we didn't work at home. So it's one of these jobs where you can't really leave the office at the office. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of time spent on private practice. And one of the things that's also interesting about being in the orchestra is every week we play a different program. So as we're rehearsing program of this week, we're preparing at home the music so that, because we're expected when we walk in the door Tuesday morning for our first rehearsal that we know what we're doing. And so we have a very quick learning curve, and none of that would happen if we didn't hone our skills at home.
And we do change up repertoire every single week, which is different even than other, you know, classical musicians. There are string quartets that will rotate the same sort of, you know, three or four concerts worth of repertoire over the course of an entire season. We play 25 different classical subscription concerts a year, plus countless young people's concerts, pop shows, outdoor concerts. So we're playing between 2 and 4 hours of repertoire every single week at the concerts. And that's all got to be rehearsed. It's all got to be learned. And usually the way it works is musician weekend is Monday. So that's everybody's last second scramble time to sort of whatever you haven't already gotten under your fingers, you've got one more day. And then Tuesday morning, we come into work. We rehearse in the morning, usually in the afternoon as well. Wednesday, we do the same thing. And most weeks, Thursday morning at 11 a.m. is our first concert of the week. And then we also play Friday and Saturday nights. And then it's on to new repertoire. And sometimes we'll do two or three different programs in a single week. So it's just over the course of a season, it's just a tremendous number of notes to keep track of. And that's probably the most challenging part of the job. It's probably, you're the newest, right? So are you still?
I was just going to ask, how is it going?
I sometimes feel there's even an extra challenge for me because there are some people in the orchestra who've been playing the repertoire for many years, and at least there's a familiarity with a lot of the music going into it. So you still have to practice and, like Sam said, get it under your fingers, so to speak. But there's a lot of music out there that's considered standard, I guess, in the orchestral world that I just have not had the chance to play yet. So sometimes there are weeks where somebody drops a Strauss violin part in front of me and I've never played it before, and that feels like 10 times the work.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we do play contemporary music that no one has seen before, and there are all sorts of things that you might come across that you've never played in 30 years in an orchestra. So it's really free-for-all, I guess, sometimes.
Yeah, that's exciting.
And those are the weeks when the veteran players go around complaining about how hard the music is, and mm-hmm. people like Sarah just look at us like, cry me a river. This is every week.
So when did you know that you were going to be a professional cellist or a professional violist? Did you always know?
I didn't figure it out till the summer of junior year of high school. So I'd done music festivals, but I didn't know if I wanted to go sort of the conservatory route. So I went to this intense program called the Quartet Program in New York and was just immersed in chamber music, sort of living, breathing it. And at the end of that summer, I knew I wanted to go into music, but I also knew that I wanted to go into music somewhere where I had to take classes that were not music related. So I went to Oberlin, and it turns out Sam actually went to Oberlin, too.
Okay. Where is Oberlin?
It's in Ohio, about 45 minutes outside of Cleveland.
Okay. See, you guys know all these places. You know, like, it's a world I don't navigate through.
The science kids know Oberlin, too. Those
really?
Are, yeah.
Because there's Oberlin College, and then attached to it is Oberlin Conservatory. Okay. So you have sort of the best of both worlds.
I think what Katya said about her quartet program, I think a lot of young musicians first sort of catch the idea that you might do this for a living at a summer camp or summer program because they are so much fun. I mean, you just, however much of an oddball you might be at home in your school for being the one who spends hours every day practicing, and then you go off to these programs where everyone is like you. And it's just a community like you've never had, you know, and you get to just immerse yourself in it for weeks, and it's fun and it's challenging and it's stressful and it's great. So I was sure I was going to be a professional musician every single summer from about late July to mid-August. And then during the year, I would think, this is a lot of practicing. I don't know. And then the next summer, I would be sure again. Mm-hmm. And I was like Katya. It was sort of late in high school that I realized, you know, this is the track I'm on, and I think I'm into it.
Totally into it. Sarah?
I also went to the quartet program.
Oh, cool.
Yes, so I guess promo for the quartet program. but yeah, I think it took me until maybe mid-high school to sort of really make the decision that I wanted to be a musician. And I also played in a youth symphony in the Twin Cities called Minnesota Youth Symphonies, which was really great because we did get to play a lot of really big orchestral repertoire that maybe not all orchestral programs will hand to kids always. It's a little bit daunting at first. So we played this really difficult music a lot of the time. And I think that sort of was the first time I really felt in a performance that I was so focused. And after coming out of that, it was just such an amazing feeling to finish a piece and feel like I'd really conquered something. So I sort of fell in love with that feeling a little bit. And I think that's why I focused on orchestral playing more in college, because I did love chamber music as well, and I still do. But yeah, and I went to Northwestern University, which is outside of Chicago. So I as well took non-music classes as well as your regular bachelor's degree in music.
What are tryouts like?
Oh, man.
Do you have another hour to spend with us?
All right, so here's
traumatizing.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. Yes. It's the scariest thing you'll ever do as a musician. Mm-hmm. Basically what happens in an audition is the orchestra advertises that they have a position. Hundreds of people submit resumes often, and some orchestras will let almost anyone come and audition. Others sort of screen resumes and try to filter people out. We usually let just about anybody come. And when you get to the audition, they will have sent you weeks earlier a list of pieces they expect to hear you play. And some of these are, you know, full concerto movements for your instrument, and others are just small excerpts of larger pieces that the orchestra plays. Basically, the excerpts will be everything that is just nigh on to impossible to play for your instrument. And you just have to prep all of those. It can be anywhere from 10 to 40 excerpts. I think 40 is the most I've ever seen. And you basically walk out on stage when it's your turn and you see nobody. You see a screen. And the screen is there because for decades, the men of the symphony orchestras of the world insisted that women could not do this job. That like, oh, we'd be happy to have them. But of course, you know, they're just not as good. And finally, somebody thought to say, well, if they're clearly not as good, then you won't mind if we put a little screen up there so you can't tell who's who. And at that point, of course, women flooded into symphony orchestras. But we still use the screen, not only for gender equity, but also just for favoritism. The music world's small. We tend to know each other. Everybody's got their friends they want to play with. Everybody's got a student they taught 5 years ago. So the idea is to really keep it fair for as long as – the screen will eventually come down towards the very end of the audition, but not until almost everyone's been whittled away. And you play multiple rounds. You'll play for 5-10 minutes at a time, and then they'll make a decision about whether you get to keep going. This can take place over days and days. And at the end of it, somebody gets a job. And there are still one or two orchestras in the world that are overwhelmingly male and that insist that that's actually important. They're wrong, but – it's still there.
You tried out not long ago.
I did an audition in October and then one actually last week. Like a couple days ago, actually.
She won both of those, I feel like we should
say. The feeling is very fresh. So as you're talking about it, I'm feeling the nerves.
Yeah.
I agree the screen is really necessary for the process, but it's also, I think for a lot of people, it makes you so much more nervous to walk out on stage and not have it be the traditional performing that you're used to. You know that you're being judged, but you're not really able to get any sort of feedback. You can't even see anyone's face. And so for me, that really freaked me out mm-hmm. when I started doing it. So that's just another factor, really managing your nerves and your confidence, and it can be a really difficult balance to strike, but it's worth it.
And the other thing is with auditions, if you're having a bad day, so I'm originally from Boston. I flew here for the audition, and you pay for your own airline, and I bought two tickets because I flew my cello with me, and if you have a bad day, they say thank you very much, and you might not make the next round, and you can go home. So it's a lot of investment besides the time of practicing, but it's, you know, investing money. And I remember when I auditioned, I was practicing like 8 hours a day, and I was very obsessive. And I finally called my mom and I said, I just don't know if I'm ready, if I've prepared enough. And she said, you know what? Just go, and if you get into the second round, you can put it on your resume. And then I came and I won the job and called her. And so I think if my mother hadn't said, you know, just go, honey. Mm-hmm. You know, I might not be here. Actually, you know. And when I did call her, she was teaching at a university, and she screamed in her office, and her colleagues came running. Aww. They didn't know what was wrong.
Well, thank goodness you all gathered the guts to try out. And thank you, Sarah Grimes, Sam Bergman, and Katya Linfield, for talking today about the Common Chord program and life as a professional musician with the Minnesota Orchestra. I'm Katie Carter, listening to Airy Voices on Northern Community Radio.
Voices made possible by the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and the people of Minnesota. The entire Minnesota Orchestra is playing tonight at the Rife Center in Grand Rapids. For more information, call us at 800-662-5799. Tune in this afternoon. Center Stage Minnesota, Brett Carter hosts a small brass group from the orchestra. Tune in around 3 o'clock right here.